The Lord be with you.
Welcome in the name of our crucified and risen Savior and Lord Jesus. Great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. We continue our Lenten journey to the cross and empty tomb. Today, the Latin name for our Sunday is Reminiscere. You might be able to figure out the English word reminisce. It's Remember Sunday. Remember. What do we remember? Remember the good old days? Remember the good times? Sometimes we remember the bad. Today we say that God would remember us. Remember us, not according to our sins, but according to His grace, love, and His mercy. We pray that God would richly bless us to that end as we hear His Word and receive His gifts. A couple of words on our worship service for today. Our opening hymn is number 615, When in the Hour of Deepest Need. 615. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3. Setting 3, that's on page 184 and following. Please note that during our Lenten season, we refrain from singing our hymn of praise. We'll skip over the Gloria. Also, we have no Alleluia verse during this time of the season. We'll sing those praise parts of our service again when we celebrate Easter anew. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Have a worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side, propers are on the other. Our focus will be on the gospel reading. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings You shower down upon us, blessings that we in no way, shape, or form earn or deserve. Heavenly Father, today, as we remember the past, both good times and bad, we pray that You would remember us. Remember us not according to our sin. Remember us according to Your mercy. Lord God, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. 615.
Thank you.
Order of worship, divine service, setting number 3, page 184. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God, our Father, beseeching Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant to us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of the introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert.
Thank you.
God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent is written in Genesis chapter 32. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men, and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of this place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose up upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
To continue with the words of our gradual as printed on your service insert, we speak them together. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. The epistle is written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally, then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus went from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the Gospel of the Lord. We confess the faith of the Church in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, continue with our hymn of the day, hymn 713. You may be seated.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning. The gospel reading heard just a moment ago, the miraculous healing of the Syrophoenician woman, your brothers and sisters in Christ. What's your favorite part of the Bible? Your favorite Bible story, your favorite Bible passage, your favorite word of hope or encouragement? I get those kind of questions a lot. A lot of people would say, well, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, my favorite Bible passage. Others might say, what's the Beatitudes? Blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers. Sometimes people have a favorite Bible story. And we heard one of those all-time favorites last Sunday, the Old Testament reading, David and Goliath. Awesome. Little boy in a slingshot, five smooth stones. Most often, I'll hear someone say, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. What else do I need? But you know, there are certain parts of the Bible that nobody ever says, that's my favorite. It might be because we don't like what's there. Might be because we don't understand what's there. Might be because what's there in God's Word is contrary to something that we hold near and dear to our heart. Evolutionists hate Genesis 1 and 2. Feminists hate Ephesians 5. You get the point? Psalm 23 may be many people's favorite section of Scripture. But I know of no one who would tell me that Psalm 88 is their favorite psalm. I could tell you to open up your hymnals to the front part of the hymnal where the psalms are listed, but guess what? Psalm 88 didn't make the cut. You know why? Because it's too real. It's too depressing. It talks too much about real life and the struggles that we face. And how sometimes we cry out to God and God doesn't answer. But I, O Lord, cry to You. Psalm 88, verse 13 and following. In the morning, my prayer comes before You. O Lord, why do You cast my soul away? Why do You hide Your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer Your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath, O God, has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long and close in on me together. You, God, have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. And unlike so many other parts of Scripture that kind of turn around and give us a little hope at the end, guess what? That's how it ends. That's how it ends. Last week, first Sunday in Lent, oh, we love it, don't we? David conquers Goliath. Jesus tempted by Satan in the wilderness. Jesus overcomes Satan. He overcomes Satan not only for Himself, but for us. We love those kind of comfort and hope sections of Scripture. We love it when God overcomes for us, overcoming our enemies. the devil, the world around us, and our own sinful flesh. We love it. But you know what we don't love? We don't love when God is the enemy. Can't be, Pastor. That's blasphemy, Pastor. Oh, no, it's not. God's Word is clear. What does a Christian do when God is the enemy? Most people would not say that this particular miracle before us in Matthew 15 is their favorite part of Scripture. We don't like what happens. Oh, maybe the end is okay. We certainly don't like what Jesus does and what Jesus says. Here we have this foreign woman. Jesus is off in the borderlands of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out to Him. The old King James Version says she was a Syrophoenician woman. The bottom line is, she's not a Jew. She's not one of the chosen people. She's not one of the 12 tribes. She's a foreigner. She's a Gentile. She's a goy. She's like you and me. Somewhere along the line, she had heard the good news. The good news that God's love was for all people and that God had sent a Savior not only for His chosen people, but through them would save all people. He would do this through His chosen one, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. She heard that word. She believed that word. She clung to that word in thick and thin. And now Jesus was coming to her hometown, her home area. She came out and she cried out to Jesus in much the same way that we sang in our liturgy just a few moments ago. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. This is our cry. This is our song. She cries out, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. She knows who Jesus is. He's the one. He's the Son of David promised long ago. He is Lord. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. She knows where to go in her trouble. And her trouble? My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. It's bad enough when we hurt. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, brothers, sisters, you know what I'm about to say. It's 1,000 times worse when our kids, our parents, our grandkids, our grandparents, our brothers, our sisters, when they hurt. You feel so helpless. You feel so worthless. What do you do? I can't tell you how many times I've been in the hospital, at the nursing home, at the deathbed, and somebody will say to me, the pastor, Pastor, we've tried everything else, so I guess now all we can do is turn to God. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? But it's true. When all of our human efforts have failed, when all of the things we put our trust in, then there's only one place to go. That's to God. And that's exactly what this Canaanite woman does. Her daughter is severely oppressed. She is hurting for her daughter. So she goes to the one who is the great physician of body and soul, the one who does miraculous healings, the one who has the promise of being the Savior of the world. She goes to Him. And now we get to the part that we don't like. Verse 23. But He, Jesus, did not answer her a word. She cried out to God. There was nothing wrong with her prayer. There was nothing wrong with her faith. She cried out to God. And God didn't answer. You ever had that happen? You cry out to God. God doesn't answer. I'm not talking about, oh Lord, I want to win the Powerball. Oh Lord, I want to catch this great big fish. I'm not talking about those kind of things. I'm talking about things that God tells us to pray for. Lord, make my husband, wife, daughter, son, mom, dad, make them better. Lord, take away the guilt and the shame that I'm feeling. Lord, make the voices go away. There are times we pray and God doesn't answer. So what do you do? What many do is they take the advice of Job's wife. They curse God and die. That's what Job's wife told him. When everything around was going to pot and Job didn't know why and he cried out to God, Job's wife says, curse God and die. In other words, curse God and die in your sin. That's what people do. They blame God. They curse God. They stay away from God's house and they drag as many people along with them as possible. What's the Canaanite woman do? It's the reason why this particular story, this true story, is preserved for us in God's inspired, inerrant, infallible Word. To teach us what to do when God turns a deaf ear to our prayer. What does she do? She keeps coming right back. She cannot be shut up. She becomes literally a pain in everybody's side. Jesus' disciples came and begged Jesus, saying, send her away, for she's crying out after us. Jesus, she's making a scene. This is embarrassing. Send her away or give her what she wants. Do something. It was very uncomfortable for the disciples and for all the people that were gathered around. We know what that's like too, don't we? When somebody has a problem and we're tired of hearing about their problem, send them away. Stay home. Stay to yourself. Get your life under control. Keep quiet. We're just like the disciples. We don't like to be reminded of other people's problems. Oh, we say we will. We say we do. Oh, we'll pray for you. Yeah, right. Like that actually happens more than we know. Just go away, problems. You people with your problems, just go away. Everything will be fine. Certainly now Jesus will have some compassion on this lady, at least to quiet her down. Jesus answered, not to the woman, but to the disciples. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Remember, this woman's a foreigner, Canaanite, a Syrophoenician. She's not one of the chosen people. Jesus says, my promises are not for her. Have you ever felt that way? That the promises of God are for other people, but not for you? That the strength, the hope, the peace, the comfort, the encouragement, the forgiveness from God is for someone else, but not for you? That's as hopeless as it gets. My friends, how are you doing so far? Is this now your new favorite Bible passage? What does the Canaanite woman do? Curse God and die? Say, well, if your promises aren't for me, then I'm not going to have anything to do with you. No. She teaches us once again the persistence of faith. She clings to the promises of God, even though everything around her says, these promises aren't real, these promises aren't true, these promises aren't for you. She clings to them because that's all she has. She clings to the Word of God. She clings to the promises of God. And she comes to Jesus one more time. Kneeling before Him says, Lord, help me. And now the part of this section of Scripture that if we had a scissors, we would just as soon like to cut out. This woman in pain. This woman with a real problem. This woman who has begged out to her Lord and Savior for help. She hears, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. It's not a typo. It's not a misprint. Jesus calls her a dog. Very few of us at this point would respond as the Canaanite woman did. She says, Jesus, you're right. You're absolutely right. I am not one of the chosen people. I am not a child of the promise. I'm a foreigner brought in through the back door. But you know what? I know the Word of God. And the Word of God says the promise is for me too. I don't need the whole load. I don't need a fancy banquet. I don't need all of your love and grace and mercy. All I need is a little crumb. Because a little crumb from you is greater than all the riches in the history of the world. Just a crumb. just a crumb of your love, just a crumb of your grace, just a crumb of your compassion. Jesus acknowledges what I hope and pray we will acknowledge as well. O woman, great is your faith. Why was her faith so great? Because she clung to it. She held on to it. She held on fast and tight to the Word of God, even when everything around her said just the opposite. O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed immediately. God's Word does what it says and says what it does. We come before the Lord of God. We kneel before the Lord and cry out, Lord, have mercy. We admit who we are, not worthy of any of God's blessings, desiring only a crumb. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto Thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended You. We know who we are. But more importantly, we know who God is. And we know that when all things seem against us, when all things seem contrary to the Word of God, when it seems as if God is silent, or worse yet, says the opposite of His Word, we take the promises of God, and not only do we hold on to them fast, but we hold them before the nose of God. God, You said. You said You love me. You said You would take care of me. You said You would give me daily bread. You said my sins are forgiven. And God loves it when we know His Word, when we hold fast to His promises, and we take those very promises and we hold them up to the Lord and say, Lord, remember? Remember Your promises? Remember me. My friends, these words may seem hard at first, but they are a great gift and a great blessing for us. God's Word is not some pie-in-the-sky prosperity gospel. It's real. It's as real as the pain and the suffering that we so often experience. But Christ says, remember me. Remember my Word. Remember my promise. Remember my gifts. This is my body. This is my blood given and shed for you. Remember, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And when difficulties come, remember these words from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our suffering, our hope in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. There's only one way that we can cling to God's promises in the midst of trial and temptation, and that's by God creating a new heart in us. We continue now with our offertory, page 192. Please stand as you're able.
Church. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty Father, let your word continue to be preached in its fullness among us. put us to death with your accusing and killing law, and make us alive with the sweet, forgiving, and resurrecting gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As a loving Father, you call us to lives of holiness and faith in your wise provision. In our ongoing struggles with unbelief and doubt, help us to rely, to cling upon to your promises, that we learn to know and to trust your forgiveness and unfailing love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you are the great physician of both body and soul. You chasten and you heal. According to your gracious will, provide healing and health to those suffering in body, mind, and soul, especially Lois, Marge, Lynn, Nolan, Bob and Mona, Carmen, Sam, Marlene, Steve, Celeste, Nancy, Diane, Chip, Janice, Disney, Max, Lori, Nevaeh, Rosa, Ed, Lorraine, Nick, Vicky, Zoe, Jocelyn, Chuck, Todd, and Susan. Lead them to cry out to you, wrestling with you in prayer, clinging to your mercy and your promises in the midst of their afflictions. And we beg you, O Lord, to relieve them. Lord, in your mercy, grant your protection to all pregnant mothers. Grant your joy to all parents who have been given the gift of children, especially Lacey and Eric Wallace, to whom you have given the gift of Eleanor Glenn, born this past week. And also grant your grace and mercy to all the baptized, especially Reed Charles Ager, who will be baptized at this font today. Keep Reed safe and secure in the ark of the Christian Church until that day when he is brought with us to the glories of the new heavens and the new earth. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, we pray you be the companion of the lonely and the mourning. Strengthen them and us through your promise that those who loved and served you on earth now rest from their labors, awaiting the resurrection. Thank you for the unspeakable comfort of the Lord's Supper. For where Jesus is present in his true body and blood, we know also there are angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The service of the sacrament is found on page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast with sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, as our Lord has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. strength that has endured from the true faith to life everlasting. Lord, peace.
With great joy, your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand for the Nunc Dimittis, page 199.